Happy Christmas, Glenisbach.
Happy Christmas, Neil.
Oh, come on, my little copperhead, Coffily. I can't wait any longer. Let's open our presents, won't we, shan't I, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose we better. If you don't stop feeling your stocking, you'll end up with squashed satsumas.
Oh, look, there's unusual there. A plastic model of Lloyd George. Very lifelike.
Oh, no, Neil, it's a wireless set.
A wireless set?
One of those novelty ones.
Oh, what a marvelous idea, Bach. How do you switch it on?
Oh, you just press him there.
What, there?
It's perfectly simple. Why are you looking so troubled?
Well, I'm just wondering what I have to twiddle to get FM here.
Here with the news headlines, Christmas Cracker, are Roy Hart, June Whitfield, and Chris Emmett, with Rudolph Moss and the Red-Nosed Headliners.
Thank you and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for the news what 1990 did for Maggie, eh? But did you see that she decided not to move to Dulwich after all? She's spending £7.5 million on a place in the centre of town. It's called Knightsbridge. She's got a very good cheap mortgage too. Arthur Scargill fixed it. But Christmas wouldn't be the same without the traditional turkey, eh? Yes, another Cliff Richard record. But a survey claimed that 9 out of 10 people say they're happy using BT phone boxes. The other one said he preferred using the gents, but there we are. Oh, and another strange story was about the retired librarian who said he never wanted to see another book as long as he lived. He's had his wish granted. He's now teaching in a comprehensive. Oh, and do you remember the woman who claimed she was ravished by a ghost? She's now complaining about a phantom pregnancy. Did you see that Salman Rushdie spent the year moving to 54 different addresses? So now he's got the Iranians and the Poltex inspectors after him. But the best news of the lot, eh? After 3 years, the gold blend couple finally got it together. Eh? Then the Dulux dog from the next advert threw a bucket of water over him. And at Wimbledon this year, a man was brought in specially to test the bounce of the balls. He was later offered a job as a hernia specialist, but there we are. But the silliest story of the year...
Oh, let's turn it off. I can't stand that man. He's always taking the rise out of us.
I quite agree, Glenys. I quite agree, aren't I? Now, let's see. Let's see what's on the news here.
Hanging upside down from a traffic light with a cucumber in his hand. He's helping police with their inquiries. While John Major enjoys his first Christmas as Prime Minister, Neil Kinnock must be a worried man this morning. An unidentified source at Labour Party headquarters has revealed that there could be a serious challenge to Neil Kinnock's leadership.
What?
There could be a serious challenge to Neil Kinnock's leadership, cloth ears.
Turn it off, Neil.
Oh, no, I was listening to that. Did you hear what he said?
I will not have you getting upset today of all days. Anyway, with all the people coming over, I better get started in the kitchen, and you can give me hands.
All right.
Oh, but answer the phone first.
Hello? Mr. Kinnock? Brian Walden here.
Oh, no.
I wonder if I could ask you for a comment on the story that is circulating about an opponent in your ranks.
I have no comment at this time, Boyle.
I really must press you on this, Mr. Kinnock.
The only pressing to be done will be my hobnails on the face of the Judas in my party, boy.
All right, let me put it another way.
No. I can't see what you're doing, but I can imagine it now. You go and make your suggestive remarks to somebody else. I've got to help Glenys with the stuffing.
If it's one of our guests, they're early.
Who's there?
The son.
The son who?
The son, male voice choir, mate. Okay, lads, and... Cecil Parkinson walked out. It's his favourite pastime. What could it have been about? Why did he go last time? What's the problem, says the son?
Ain't he fit to govern? Or has he put one more bun into someone?
Oh, thank you very much. Go on, get out of here. Oh, that Bonnie Lungford's family are all the same.
Who was it?
Flaming Carol Singers, didn't I? Oh. What do they think, that we're made of money? I'm a socialist, not a Tory. Besides, if what I heard on the news is true, I could be out of a job soon.
Oh, what?
I tell you, Glenys Boyle, I'm not going down the mines, no. My dad had a nasty accident once, trying to jumpstart a pit pony. It was frightening.
What?
Oh, just my little joke, Gladys.
Oh, answer that, will you, Neil? And if it's Roy Attersley, hide the twiglets till the other guests arrive.
The king has greetings to you all! And praise be for this time of peace!
No. Ian Paisley Carol singing. What seasonal song could possibly suit you?
Silent Night!
Oh, not again. Now, look here, just leave us alone, you money-grabbing...
Neil, that's no way to greet your shadow chancellor.
Oh, hello, John. Happy Christmas.
And a happy Christmas to you, Glenys Hand. Well, do I get a wee kiss under the mistletoe?
There, now it's Glenys' turn to kiss you again.
Oh, that's a nice aftershave you're wearing, John.
Yes, it's a present from my nearest and dearest. It's called A Wet Afternoon in Socky Hull Street. Speaking of which, is Hattersley here yet?
No, he isn't, and I want a word with you both, isn't it? Are you two hatching a plot against me, aren't you?
Neil, whatever gave you that idea? Saved by the bell.
Oh, that had better not be another carol singer or tradesman.
Oh, come, Neil. That's not very Christian of you.
What's Christianity got to do with it?
I don't think the Archbishop of Canterbury would agree with your sentiments.
Indeed, no. I expect poor Robert Runcie must be feeling a trifle sad, this being his last Christmas in office.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, Rosalind, I cannot wait much longer. Show me what thou hast.
All right, Bobbykins, keep your cassock on. I hast all me letters on the Scrabble board, and they make a sentence.
Oh, at last.
Yeah, well, listen to this. Saucy rectors Randy Lovewomps with defwopped sexton and a bucket of miracle whip. Now, what's that worth?
About 5 years, I'd say, Roger. Oh, lackaday and lassitudinous longers. I am bored with this game.
Well, it's your own fault. You always wait until you've got enough letters for anti-disestablishmentarianism and... Oh, I said it. Look, why don't you get in the Christmas spirit? Where is Silly at?
I do that all year round, my dear. Verily, this Christmas seems so tedious. I'm sure there's something missing.
Oh, come on, Runcie. It's cosy, just the two of us. Why don't we... Oh, no, is there someone at the door?
Where are you, Tony Booger?
Just pop up to deliver your Christmas card, like.
Durham, my dear.
It is I.
Come in. Festive felicitations and sincerest salutations of the season. There's one for the diocesan dentures. Would you care for a glass of Nicaraguan sherry and one of Rosalind's low-cholesterol mince pies?
Yeah. I'd rather have a pot of Nuki Brown and a packet of salt and vinegar communion wafers, mate. Get on, man, I can't stop. I want to get a couple of pipes in at the wagon load of atheists just around the corner. Then I'm off to pull a little cracker. Here's your card, pet.
Oh, ta. Here. Where's it got big holes in it? Is it damaged?
Damaged? No, bunny lass. My Christmas cards are all like that. Took me ages to cut out all the people I didn't believe in. I'll see you next.
Ah, oh, dear, dear Durham. No one could accuse him of remembering the meaning of Christmas. I just wish I could remember what it is that's missing.
Oh, come on, Wobbly. Why don't we just curl up on the settee and, you know, just... Oh, no. no, someone else at the door.
We must get those chimes fixed.
Runcie, me old schnorrer. And again to Duru. Happy Hanukkah.
Chief Rabbi.
Yes.
An unexpected interdenominational delight. I didn't know you celebrated Christmas.
Well, it's the one day I get off a year, isn't it? Anyway, boy, here's your present. Come on, open it up. Open it up. Go on. I've got it retail. Go on.
Oh. Oh, blessed beneficence. What greater gift can there be than the unsolicited bestowal of socks?
Now, don't tell me you've already got some. I never know what's worn under your cassock.
Oh, nothing. It's all in perfect working order.
Oh, it's all go, all go. Mind you, Christmas isn't what it was.
Oh, disaster and lamentations. I must perforce declare a concomitance with you.
Oh, really? He's a go, isn't he?
It's not the absence of carol singers, snow on the ground. Oh, not again.
What? I'll get it, Chick, so you take the weight off your cloth of gold, Dr. Skulls, then. Oh, it's by a miracle. Look, my Canterbury Cantor. It's what's been missing from our, sorry, your traditional Christmas.
Oh, ejaculations of joy and euphoric felicity. What is it, the chirpy robin redbreast, the frost-flecked sleigh bells of Santa's carriage? I said we should have realized this.
It's better than that, my son. It's the one thing no one can remember a Christmas without. Look. The spirit of Christmas past.
Hello, who'd like to buy shares in ex-Prime Minister PLC? We're going
public. Well, so far it's all going very smoothly, Neil.
Except for one thing. We invited that misery guts Ebenezer Kaufman. Oh, he hasn't stopped saying bah humbug since he got here. Yeah, you don't think it's him, do you? Aren't I, isn't it? My opposing candidate for leader of the party, I Stedford.
Oh, don't be silly, my little Welsh wazzock. You're getting paranoid about the whole affair. You've got nothing to rally about, I'm telling you. Go and attend to the guests. After you've answered the door.
Hello, Dale. Compliments of the season.
Oh. Attersley, you got here at last.
Yes, sorry I'm late, but would you believe on the way here I spotted this spud you like that was open at a... Well, I couldn't resist popping him for a potato pack full of peppers and pineapples. With pilaf rice and parsley and paprika sauce.
Oh, Jojo, we've just 1001 the carpet yesterday. Oh, come on out with it. Is it you?
Is what me? Oh, you don't mean that ridiculous item on the news this morning. Oh, come on, Neil, old bean. You know me better than that. Oh, sounds like everybody's enjoying themselves. Where's the peanuts? I'll start a fresh barrel.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Wait.
You're on your own.
It's all right. It's Paddy Ashdown's party in there, don't we? It's him. I know it's him. Oh, well, never mind.
Hello.
Hello, Kaufman. Enjoying the party?
I've had more fun in an M25 traffic jam. Where's the Kazi?
Upstairs, first on the left, or you can use the one at the bottom of the garden.
I suppose you're going to the show tomorrow night.
What? The musical put on by the MP's Dramatic Society?
Yes.
Too right, boyo. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right, if you want to see the opposition making complete, total twonks of themselves.
Just like they do every day of the year, you mean. By all accounts, the dress rehearsal yesterday went very well.
And now, in spite of popular demand, we present the return of the Westminster Players in their special Christmas production of The Phantom of the Government. Our story starts in the depths of a deserted House of Commons, where one man feels the call of destiny on his shoulder. The man is the Prime Minister, Mr. John Major.
People of Britain! No, that's no good, no. My people of Britain.
No, I shall never get this Prime Minister business right.
Cooey! John!
Norma! What are you doing here? I thought this was your stamp collecting night.
Oh, no, John, I'm far too busy for that now.
So you finally decided... Wait, that philately will get you nowhere.
Pardon?
It was a joke, Norma.
Oh, yes, John. No wonder they say you're a bit of a comedian.
Oh, dear. We all have our crosses to bear. So what brought you here, my little angel?
The bus, a number 41 and change at Wood Green.
I think you'll find that's a number 11. I'm not sure.
No, it was definitely a 41.
Oh, really?
Yes, but of course I could have caught the number 19 and changed at Finsbury.
Why have you come here, my little angel?
You forgot the woolly scarf I knitted you. Oh, you don't like it, do you?
Of course I like it, Norma. I'm the honest Prime Minister. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say.
Oh, is that why you supported the poll tax?
Shut up! My own true love.
No, then,
what's going on here? What? You two clear off before I nick you.
You happen to be talking to the Prime Minister.
Oh, aye, and I'm the Queen of Sheba.
Oh, Your Majesty.
Not to be quiet.
You're no the Prime Minister, because I happen to know what was his name now? I've got it written down here somewhere. John the Major.
That's him?
That's he, Norma, please. Remember your grammar. You're not at Brixton High now.
Sorry, John.
What's that?
Don't you be asking that, young sir, whatever you do. Don't ask that. It'd be more than my life's worth to tell you.
Oh, all right, then.
But in order to further the plot, I'll tell you anyway. They do say it's a phantom of the government. A strange, ungodly creature what haunts these parts, demanding revenge for a wasted life. They say it be pure evil, the very distillation of torment and horror. What do you think of that, then?
Oh, yes, that reminds me. I must get on with my review of the poll tax.
Don't I say that word. Now look what you've done. It's coming this way.
Oh, my God, it's horrible. It's horrible, it's repulsive, it's...
You didn't think you'd get rid of me that easily, did you?
Hey, I told you. They serve the function of the government.
Oh, it has been calling me since this began. I say, I'm in control. I'm my own man.
Though you're Prime Minister, and I've resigned, the phantom of the government can work you from behind.
My face is featureless, blank as can be. The mask I wear.
It's me they see.
I know.
You'll be my monkey and I'll organ grind.
The phantom of the government can work me from behind.
There's more.
Louts and leftists undermine our nation. People get ideas above their station. When the leader sings, I'll be lurking in the wings, though someone else is basking in the light. It's me who makes the music of the right. Though I may be somewhere out of sight, still I'll make the music of the right.
More Joe, more carol singers, I suppose.
Away in a tunnel beneath the seabed, a boracal Bridget is forging ahead. Behind her two bright eyes look down through the clay, a rat with the rabies is coming away.
Oh, no. John Paul.
Christmas is coming. The geese are getting fat. Please to put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, to you.
Oh, marvelous. The only time I can understand him is when he's after money.
Neil, there's someone lurking about. In our back garden.
Oh, it's probably Hattersley sniffing around for truffles, I should think.
No. No, it's someone dressed in blue.
Can't be. It is. It's that Thatcher woman. Look, you isn't it, aren't I? Oh. I just stepped foot for statin. She's seen us.
Please, let me in. Nobody wants me anymore.
Go away. What's wrong with your home in Dulwich?
Well, it's cold and empty. Dennis is lying on the sofa doing an impression of a newt. Runcie threw me out, and the Queen wouldn't let me in. All I want is to be with friends.
Us friends? You must be joking. Now clear off, you old lackered has-been.
Neil, Neil, get up at once. I will not have a husband of mine, particularly the leader of the Labour Party, indulging in a slanging match through the cat flap.
Ah. You hear that, woman? The leader of the Labour Party. Soon to be Prime Minister. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
That's what you think, you ginger slaphead.
Neil, come and see the video Robin Cook's brought along. He got it at a Christmas present this morning.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm in your shadow cabinet, the Minister for Bad Acting.
Yeah. Spot on, Boyle, spot on. Hey, what's the video about then? It's not Muffin the Mule, the Nightmare Continues, is it?
It's a live recording of Tony Benn's party piece.
What? The one where he recites a topical poem while attempting to get out of a straitjacket? Oh, I think I'd rather stay here and do battle with Mrs. T.
Right, settle down. Please give order. Let's hear it for everybody's favourite plonker, our good friend, Tony Benn.
Thank you, comrade. Did you hear the one about that incident at the Arsenal-Liverpool match where Father Christmas did a streak?
How did you know he was Father Christmas?
He was still wearing his hat. On the pitch streaked a very blue Santa, because his hat didn't cover his all. The teams were confused, the ref not amused, so he booked him for handling the ball. But he ran with the ball round the touchline, and he slid like a sleigh on the grass. When he tripped on his beard, the spectators all cheered. He displayed a most beautiful pass. At halftime, the ref came and told him, "I must say you look rather silly. Don't let cold get its grip. Muffle up. Take my tip. If you don't, you'll start feeling chilly." The female fans shouted out warmly. It's a strip that could show some new trends, for he moved like a jackal displaying his tackle. And what's more, he scored twice at both ends. This great Santa has become very famous, for he's big now in Scotland and Frimley. And to all in that crowd, he stood out mighty proud. And that's why he gets stuck up the chimney. Hang up. Come on, everybody. It must be time for a dance. Glenys, wake up the band, and let's have a really groovy time. Oh, conga, there's lovely. Now get your hands on my hips, and let's knock a ball, you wonderful little Christmas sugar plum, you. 1, 2, 3. We started off our conga. I hope it lasts much longer. Just squeeze me tight. Let's get this right.
I can't squeeze more than that, Neil. Oh. You're getting rather fat, Neil. But let's go.
Oh, no, no, no. Shove off, Roy. Shove off. Right. You lumbering Christmas left over you.
Spoiled sport. I was enjoying it.
Oh, where on earth Glenys got to?
Oh, Neil. I just spotted our new arrivals.
New arrivals? I haven't noticed anyone.
No, exactly. It's John Major. He's over there with Norma blending in with the grey wallpaper.
Gracious, look. They've bought their circus equipment. Oh, watch out, Glenys. I fly through the air on my father's trapeze.
We majors can rival the best chimpanzees.
Which all goes to prove that I've such expertise. This country's quite safe in my hands.
In his hands.
Quick, Glenys, open that window.
This country's quite safe. And my Norma agrees. Just watch us both fly with the greatest of
us.
Oh, there's nothing for it. We'll just have to go straight into our last waltz.
Oh, that'll be perfect, Neil.
Lovely.
We've had a ball this Christmas.
Glenys.
And Neil and all. Now let's get right back to business. After a
And finally, Stop Press predicts what will happen in 1991.
John Major at last invites a woman to attend meetings of the cabinet.
Yes, she'll be serving tea, coffee and biscuits twice a week.
Mrs. Thatcher's family are also honoured in the New Year list.
Mark is awarded an MBE and arrives at the Taj Mahal to collect it.
And we've just heard that the Daily Star has sent 100 packets of Paxo to Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, pity it wasn't the Sun. They'd have told him where to put it, wouldn't they?
And that's the end of the Stop Press.
And we'll be back for another series unless I'm ousted by John Major. Ta-da!
Hudline's Christmas Cracker, starring Roy Hudd, June Whitfield, and Chris Emmett, with music from Peter Moss and the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. The show was written by Tony Hare, Jeremy Brown, Mike Coleman, Michael Dines, Julian Duffin, Wendy Gray, Pete Higgins, Jenny Maynard, Jed Parsons, Ian Patterson, Richard Quick, Richard Stoneman, Alex Spaniard, Tony Wheatley, and Sid Wright, with Dave Dixon, Sally Ann Collison, John Holland, Les Fletcher, and Roy Granville, David Pine, Jerry Godin, Peter Hughes, Bill Rosen, and Robert Linford.
All of whom are being referred to as Sir by our producer,
Dirk Mack.
Well, Glenys, at last we've got the house to ourselves. Here, let's put on the news and see what's been happening.
Waving it at passers-by the side of the Watford Gap. Been helping the police with their inquiries. The mystery deepens regarding the contender to the Labour leader's throne. It would appear there is some truth in the rumour, and that Mr. Kinnock could be facing a serious challenge.
Oh, you're not listening to any more of that nonsense.
But, Glenys, isn't it? You heard what he said. There is a traitor in my party.
Well, I warned you. Our policies are moving too far to the right.
Surely you don't mean...
Oh, yes, she does.
Oh, Glenys, they told you to bolt the cat flap.
Too late, you pathetic, freckled windbag. By March, I'll have your job, and then by the end of the year, I'll be back at number 10.
Oh, no, she's joined the Labour Party.
Ha, ha, ha!